Good to be at Enid once again. Like I said, the children wanted to come, and I was glad they did. So I had already planned to come, and then when they were in the willing mind, that really helped a lot. But I've been thinking about something that's very common. We're all familiar with this passage. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, where it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Lord wants us to use our time wisely. And I guess what triggered this main thought today, was when I heard, and you probably all heard it too, that federal employees were being asked to list 5 things that they had done the week before on their job. Probably all of you heard that too. And I guess what stunned me was the reaction that came from that, because that's no-brainer. Now, I don't know if you do this on your job, but when I work, I have to record what I did at each client's house. I do different older clients, and when I get done, before I can clock out of that particular job, I have to write down, or they already have it listed, if I, vacuumed, if I, whatever I did through that time frame, I have to record that I did it. And so it was stunning to me that people with college degrees were about, making this a big issue, like, well, that's intimidating. I heard one representative say that, Collins, I think, from Maine. Why intimidate employees like that, It was stunning to me. So what I was thinking was, and you can do this in your own mind, you don't have to say it out loud, but anyway, in your day-to-day activity, what we have is what we call ADLs, and that's activities of daily living. Whenever you go through the day, how much of your day is daily activities of living? How much of your day is things that are going to last, and I'm not talking necessarily about spiritual right now, but things that are going to take place once a week or for a month, and then something that's going to be permanent. And I'll give you an example of that. Okay, every day we eat, so every day there's dirty dishes. That's a daily activity, eating and doing dishes. However, do you go grocery shopping every day? Probably not. I don't go grocery shopping, so grocery shopping would be every 3 or 4 days, or maybe once a week. And then there's some things that you do that are big that you don't do even every week, like you might buy a big supply of like flour or something I do, and I only do that once every 2 or 3 weeks or a month. Then, and I'm using this as an example to get into other things, and then it's the same way with laundry. There's always laundry to do, always washing clothes. But on once a week, I wash sheets. And then, but once about every month, I wash the covers on the couch, or maybe every other. So there's some things you do every day. And then there's some things you do once a week. And then there's some things we do once a month. And then there's some things that we do that's going to stay forever. And right now, what brought this to my attention, too, has been I have a bathroom laundry unit that needs to be remodeled, redone. And so I'm doing a little tugging and pulling on my sons to help me get this done. And so the encouragement I've been giving them is, once it's done, you won't have to do it again. Once it gets done, it's a big job, it's a big project. You look at it and you think, oh, so much work here. But once it's done, right? They'll never have to come into that laundry room and utility room and do it again. They'll never have to take the shower out. Linda had to put in a hot water heater. I'm so thankful. They took the one out of the attic. It was sagging. I prayed that thing out. And I was so glad the 3 boys got together one night and just took it out. And I was so thankful. I said, you'll never have to do that again. You'll never have to take that hot water heater out again. Never, ever again. Now it needs to go off my porch. But anyway, there's some things that we do in our daily living that we do every day. We get up in the morning, And I always, you know, brush my teeth. We have to do that every day. Because I brushed it yesterday doesn't mean I don't brush it today. However, I don't go to the dentist but like once a year, I hope. So there's things that in our life, sometimes we make decisions over priorities of what is important. Have you ever had to do that when you get your day crowded? I've had times just this last week when my day got crowded. And it was Friday. And this is just an example. And you all can probably think of things like this in your life too. But was it Friday? Was the last day of March? February? No, it's Thursday, right? No, Friday was the last day of February. Okay, Friday was the last day of February. I was trying to help Kimberly get her stuff out of the unit so she wouldn't have to pay March. And my supervisor calls me from the job and she said, Connie, you've got 5 more lessons you've got to get done before the end of the day. 5 more lessons, and I get credit for it at the job. And then I got called and there was a business meeting at GOP meeting. All these things crowding, and I know that every day Darlene likes her supper. Every day we need to eat. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to crowd some of this activity out and put priority over what ones really matter and what ones don't. And we do that in our life all the time, don't we? We kind of prioritize. Like, we all do it. And I know sometimes we hear and we are busy. We'll say, oh, I'm so busy, I can't do that. But I have found people will do what they really want to do. I mean, they're going to fit it in. They're going to crowd out. Like for me, what I ended up doing was, for supper, we just had a sandwich quick. I mean, I wasn't going to make a big meal because that's an everyday activity, and I wasn't going to put a lot of time into that. And I did a few dishes, but not as much. We used paper plates. I put that down at the bottom so I could have time for the other things that needed to be done. And so it is in our life. We make decisions like that all the time through the day. And I was thinking, in our day, if somebody asks, what have you done today that is permanent? You'll never, ever have to do it again. Is there anything you could list? Not even, I'm not speaking spiritual so much right now. We'll get into that too. But, you know, somebody said to you, did you do something today that you'll never, ever have to do again? Could you say, yes, there's something I did that I'll probably never do again? Because we live life so fast. Our time goes by so quickly. And I've told even the grandchildren sometimes when they'll say they're bored, but you're living a moment you'll never live again. This moment that you're living right now, you'll never live it again. You can get money back sometimes. You can get things replaced that have been taken that, like Kimberly, she was saying, we're there at the Salvation Army where she's staying. Somebody stole my scarf. Somebody stole my gloves. Somebody stole something else, she was saying. But I said, don't let them take things from your soul, Kimberly. Don't let them take what is valuable to your soul. And she said a man approached her about being her mate. And I said, no, those things you need to leave off, because that will take from your soul. But whatever they take from you personally, don't fight about it. If it causes trouble, you can replace it. But there's some things that you can't replace. There's some things that we can do in life that are permanent that we won't ever be going back to do again. And some of those things, yes, are spiritual, and that's the most important thing. My grandma used to have a little sign on her desk, and I remember it very well, the little saying that said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's all very true. And there's sometimes when we have to lay aside some of our ADLs, our everyday living activities, we have to lay them aside so we can do some things for the Lord that will last eternally. And the Lord's pleased with that. We all know the story of Martha and Mary, and that's told in Luke, I believe. Let's see here, had it written down. Luke 10. We all know the story about Martha and Mary and how Mary, the Lord said she had chosen the better part. But, excuse me, That's all very good. But I was thinking of it in this regard. People that have money are rich enough to hire somebody to do their ADLs, their activities of daily living. They have the money to hire somebody to come in and wash dishes, come in and do their yard work. You know, that's a very big thing, having the yard done by a company, because they don't count that important. It's important to have it done, but they don't want to waste their time doing it. So they hire people to do it. And so I was thinking of that in regards, and I thought, I wish I had the money to hire somebody to come in and wash my floors, mop my floors, and, you know, do my dishes and do my ADLs, the things that I don't want to do because I'm really wanting to get Darlene's books done. I got 2 books going on Darlene, and I was contacted again about when are they going to be ready, and that's something that when I get it done, it's done. I don't have to do it again. And I thought, I really need to be doing Darlene's books, and that's so important for me to get this done. And I thought, I wished I had the money to hire somebody to come in and do my dishes. And then I went to take care of a client, and guess what I do for that client? Wash the dishes, sweep the floor. And I thought, you know what? That's what you are as a servant, right? And who did Jesus say was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So I'm a servant, you know? And so I was thinking of that in regards to I'm doing the servant work. I have 2 or 3 clients I give, you know, clean, give them showers, and I wash feet every week. Every week, you know, it's just a daily thing. I wash their feet and help them. And I was thinking, and who did Jesus say was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The servants. The people that do the little task every day. And it just dawned on me that sometimes we can get into our own mind such a high-mindedness that sometimes we don't feel the very weight of the little things. And the Lord wants us to put our work together in that everything we do, what did he say? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And it was coming to me then, the work that we do, if we do it as unto the Lord, it's not wasted time. It's not wasted. Because I was thinking in my mind that I'm wasting time helping this do this because it's just everyday activities of doing this activity, mopping the floor or taking care of this matter. And it's not the important thing. And there's things that we do need to do that are permanent. There are things that the Lord calls us to do, to take care of, and it's important for us to do that. We don't have an image before the world of being careless and slothful. There's a scripture about that, about being slothful. Where in Proverbs, where it tells us to go to the house of the sluggard, their house is not taken care of. The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to take care of everyday activities and to be active and caring about things that do come across every day. So there's a balance. There is a balance there. And whatever the Lord calls us to do, do it with all of our might. Have a balance in our every activity of the day. And why this was coming to me so important, I also, and I've mentioned it before, and now with Mom not, you know, on her deathbed, not probably going to be here long. When it comes down to the last, when you think about your life, you start thinking about the things you did with family and the memories you made with them. And like one older person said to me, when you look in a photo album, you don't see pictures of the times when you had crosswords, the times when there was a disagreement, but you see pictures of what? Happy faces. You take pictures of people when they're smiling, when they're together and they're doing something fun. That's what you usually see pictures of. So if we put that as a priority in our life of making life something that's a blessing to others. And it may sometimes be doing the mundane everyday task of washing dishes or sweeping the floor or taking care of the car or something that is just common everyday activities. But if we do it with a cheerful heart, that's what counts. And this, it's the attitude of the heart. The Lord was talking to me. He said, it's the attitude of the heart you have when you do these activities that matter. That's what I'm looking for. Because the Lord knows that there's things we do every day. And we have to do them. But when our hearts are cheerful, that has a wave and a ripple to it. It ripples out to the children. It ripples out to the people around about us. And who wants to be... We want to be around somebody that's cheerful, not somebody that's gloomy, right? It makes life more happy. I was thinking of this in regards to a story I read of a woman, and I won't tell the whole story. Maybe you would like to read it yourself, but she was a young woman that grew up in the 1930s, and she grew up in Shawnee. And her parents were well-known Christian people of the community. Her father was a banker, and her mother sang in the choir. She was a well-known vocalist, and their names were in the paper often about how well they were doing in the public arena. And but underneath in the home, there was unhappiness and unrest. The children felt tense all the time because the father was gone a lot, foreclosing on farms because farmers were failing and not able to pay. So he's foreclosing on farms, making the bank richer. And he would come home with treats and gifts to the children. And the mother would come at him and tell him, how come you haven't been here? The children have done this and the children have done that. And there was bickering and fussing in the home. But up on the outer surface to the public looking on, this family had a very nice house. They were dressed in the best of clothes for that time, while others were wearing rags and coming to the soup line because they didn't have money. But this family, the image to the public, it looked very nice. And others probably envied them and wanted to be a part. They had a car. Everybody else, or a lot of people, were walking. But this family had a car. But the image that they brought forth was not what they were really living behind the scenes, because they got things turned around and they were not redeeming their time to take care of the little things at home and to make things happy at home. They were taking care of outside looking good. And the devil likes to do that. He likes to cause people sometimes to put on a front and look good on the outer to the world, but behind the scenes, the little things are not being taken care of. Little things that take time. Little things that maybe ADLs, just everyday activity living things. But it adds up to make contentment at home. And the Lord wants us to have a balance. He wants us to balance our life where we are able to take care of the things that are important at home. Then there's things to take care of that's important in the church, in the community. But the Lord wants us to make sure, most important of all, our hearts are right. And that our hearts have a peace and contentment with Him. That we're open and honest with Him. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I know you all know these things, but it was a reminder to me whenever I read that and I thought, and they can't even give five things that they've done. And it didn't even specify what kind of things. Like they could have said, well, I took the trash out. You know? But when I make a list, and I don't know how you do your daily list, when I make a list, I always try to think, on this list, did I put something for the Lord? On this list, did I put something that will last? Something that has meaning to it? Because the Lord wants our life to have purpose, not just to go through humdrum. Some of the beginnings of civilization was when people began to record what they were doing, record their activities, record the things that were happening. And a lot of time it was just everyday activities like walking and having a ceremony sometimes and things. That's, they would draw pictures and then they began to do writing. That's what they call the beginning of civilization. And also when people were able to care for one another. When people learned how, if somebody fell and broke a bone, they knew how to wrap that bone and how to help that person to get well. That's also another sign of civilization. Being able to use your time wisely, redeeming the time that the Lord would be pleased with us, that at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, when He asks us, what have you been doing with your life? We can say with clarity, Lord, I've done this for you, and I've done that for you. I haven't wasted the time that you've given me, but I've been redeeming my time so that it has value to it, not only to me, but to the Lord and to those around about. The Lord wants us to redeem our time wisely. I guess I haven't been reading scriptures as much as I should. Ecclesiastes tells us in the 8th chapter about the times. There's a time, and this, we're familiar with this, and I'll be quick soon over. But he said there's a time for everything under the sun. This is familiar to us. Ecclesiastes 8 and 5. Ecclesiastes 8 and 5. Is it 8 and 5? Where he says, there's a time and a season for everything. Maybe, I think that's 3. I'm sorry, I have the wrong place. It's Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that therein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So there's a time for everything. And when I was thinking about this, and like I said, I was kind of putting my day into categories. Do I spend enough time doing things that are permanent? Do I spend enough time on daily activities that, you know, make life comfortable for family and me and others? Do I spend enough time that for the Lord is the most important thing? To give the Lord time in my devotions and in my prayer, that's the basis of our happiness. Because when we learn to balance out our time, then we're more contented in life, I believe. Anyway, it helps with me. And if somebody was to give us, or even say the Lord, was to ask us, what have you been doing with your time? Should be a quick response. There's things that I've done that the Lord is pleased with. And there's things that I've done that's helped others. There's things that I've done in my devotion to the Lord. And I don't think that's a hard request if it's asked of us. The Lord wants us to redeem our time because we see those about us very evil. And a lot of people out there are just shiftless, shifting. And they don't have any purpose really in life. Their main goal is to eat. Their main goal is to have pleasure. But it's such a shallow, shallow shifting life. And it's dissatisfying to them. They have their maybe happy moment when they laugh, but it's not lasting. And my son was telling me he has some guys working for him. And this is how shallow. You know what they got put in jail for? For armed robbery. And you know what they did? They took a gun and went to the convenience store nearby and held up the clerk and they stole lottery tickets. They went home and scratched out the lottery tickets and went back to redeem them. See, can you imagine somebody being, why would they do that? But it's just for the moment. It's just a shallowness for the moment. And of course they got turned in. People out there are so shallow for just the moment, and they don't think ahead. They don't plan their time. And all they're thinking about is a quick money, a quick way to get a high fix, and that's the way they, and it's sad when people live like that. Lord, help us to have a stableness that is beautiful to people looking on, and a plan in our life that whenever those that are about us see us, and there's a plan there. We've got a purpose in life. We've got some goals that are God-given, and He wants us to work our life in such a way that's pleasing to Him and that others benefit from our life. And I appreciate the saints here. I know I'm preaching, like I said, to the choir, but it was inspiring to me to think how to redeem our time so that if we were asked to give an account, we would have a ready answer. And not just maybe detailed, but in general, at least. So, Lord, help us. I want to be faithful to Him. The time that He's allotted to me, I want to do with it what I can to please Him. We're only here a short time. And what they say is a little dash between the date of birth and the date of death. It's just a little dash. We heard that read at a funeral recently. And it's what you do at that dash that matters. Well, I believe the Lord is pleased when we have order in our life and we have contentment with Him. Thank you for your time.